If you would open your Bibles up to 1 Timothy. Friday nights, I'm teaching a college group over at the University Center at Salisbury University, and we're going through the book of 1 Timothy, and it's quite a book. It's fun, it's awesome, it's hard, it's challenging, it's flesh-cutting, but at the same time, it's a wonderful letter. Of course, we call them books of the Bible, but Timothy, this is just a copy of a letter that Paul wrote with his own hand. And Timothy's a young guy. He's about a teenager, which blows my mind. He's a teenager, and a teenager to early 20s, and he's leading up a church in Ephesus, a place where Paul kind of dropped them off when they were on their missions trip. So basically, what I would like to share this morning is, what is ministry? And what is the church? What is the purpose of the church? What is our purpose in the church? What is my purpose in the church? I remember when I first was saved, I was kind of in a vacuum because I didn't know where I fit in particularly within a fellowship. Learning now that I'm a part of this new family, I knew I was the son, but I didn't really have any chores. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And this is a wonderful instructional letter to Timothy as to how the church is to be run, the order that the Lord has established. And if I may, I want to start out with a little story out of Wiernsby. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. That advertisement appeared in a London newspaper, and thousands of men responded. It was signed by the noted Arctic explorer, Sir Ernest Shackleton, and that was what made the difference. Now, if Jesus Christ had advertised for workers, the announcement might have sounded something like this. Men and women want it for the difficult task of building my church. You will often be misunderstood, even by those that are working with you. You'll face constant attack from an invisible enemy. You may not see the results of your labor, and your full reward, it won't come until your work is completed. It may cost you your home, your ambitions, and even your life. Quite a strange advertisement, when you think, for Christian ministry, but a real one. So why would anybody want to be in the ministry? Why would you want to do it? I mean, if it's going to cost all these things, why? Why even do it? Why be in the ministry? Why would I want to do this? It makes no sense to me. Well, I think Luke 22, if everyone could turn there, please. Luke chapter 22. This is one of the reasons why I want to serve the Lord. And I think it's a great story to motivate us toward that end. In Luke chapter 22, verse 24, "Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest." And here they're at the Passover feast with Jesus before he's going to the cross, and the apostles are arguing over who is considered the greatest. Just by the way, they're missing it. They're missing the whole thing. These are the apostles. "And Jesus said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table, or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves." Beautiful verse. You are at a restaurant, right? And you're getting ready to order your food. And there you are, you're ordering your food, and people are waiting on you, right? And our American sense of commercialism says what? The customer is always right. The customer is always, always right. The customer is never wrong. So here you are, the customer. Yet Jesus would say, but I'm the one who's serving, which is kind of interesting. And it's Jesus saying this. That's what makes the difference. He was the Lord. He is Lord of all of heaven and earth, and he stooped for us. And even today, I'm convinced that he still washes our feet. He still listens to our prayers. The Bible says he makes intercession for us every moment of our breathing lives. The Bible says that he won't even stop answering our prayers until we stop having a need. I mean, Jesus is still serving us, which is amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And so he is our example. When he washed the disciples' feet, he said, look, I've done this as an example for you, that we would do likewise for each other. And I say all that just to say this. If Jesus was a servant, I want to be a servant. We want to be more like Christ. If he was a servant, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be a servant. I want to have his heart, and I want to do those things. And there's five kind of points that I wrote down regarding your ministry. And I say your ministry because this is not Calvary Chapel. This isn't particularly Don's ministry, but this is our ministry together. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we're kings and priests, that we're all ministers unto the Lord. Every single one of us that the Lord has saved and set apart, has set apart with a purpose in his work. So we're all ministers before the Lord. And there's just 5 points if you're taking notes, as those good college students over there are doing. There's 5 points that I wanted to bring out that will come out of 1 Timothy. One is responding to the call of God. 2, responding to pure doctrine. 3, service motivated by love. 4, service empowered by grace. And 5, walking before God and before man. I'm going to flip over to Ephesians 4. My guys are used to this in Bible study. The intro is like 5 pages long here, and then we're like at verse 1 about an hour later, so please forgive me as I'm kind of setting the stage here. But Ephesians 4, verse 11 says this, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried away about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love." So I've encountered people that say, well, I don't need to go to church. Matter of fact, the Bible says somewhere there's a verse that says, well, you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have no need that a man should teach you. And yeah, there is a scripture that says that. But here it says there is a purpose of the church. It's for the equipping of the saints of the ministry and for fellowship. I need you guys. I need you guys. I really, really need you guys. We all need each other. We need that fellowship. We can't be Christians on our own. There's no such thing as a pioneer Christian. There's one, that's Christ, and that's because he could do it. But we can't. We need each other's support. We need help. We need prayer. We need each other to bear each other's burdens. We need somebody to share, you know, our struggles with and relate with us. And that can't take place if you're the solo Christian guy out there. So we really need our fellowship. But here it says that church is for, verse 12, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So who is supposed to equip the saints? Is it just the pastor? Is it just these roles that were listed earlier? And no. In verse 16, it says that we're an entire body and that we're all knit together. But it also says, by what every joint supplies, each and every joint of the body, and by which every part does its share, causes growth for the edifying of itself in love. So it's kind of neat. When I first got saved, it was the same year that I got saved, I started playing piano. Had no idea what's up with piano, where would I fit in? And now, the Lord's used, a simple physical, natural gift for supernatural purposes. And that's the thing. I remember when I first became a Christian, I looked at these people and said, man, they're the called of God. They're the teachers and the pastors and the evangelists and all these great things when there are other roles in the church as well. Like somebody who picks up a piece of trash in the parking lot, that's a very important role in the church. Like somebody who cooks really good desserts Sunday mornings, Judy Evans, thank you. It's a very important role in the church. But these are important things. There's no gift that's any higher, so to speak, than another, because the Lord has given it to you to minister. And all the gifts are used for the same purpose, for the equipping of the saints and for the edifying of the saints, to build me up. I tell you, when I eat at the Wessels, I get built up. Physically, spiritually, everything else. And Julius does too, and he knows that. We get built up, and it's a spiritual gift. Hospitality is a gift of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And basically what I'm saying is we all have gifts. Every single one of us has something. There was a lady in the, I think it's the book of Acts. She passed away in the church, and her name was Dorcas. And she always used to sew clothes for the saints. She sewed clothes. And when she passed away, the whole church mourned for her. And an apostle came and prayed. And she actually received life. She was resurrected and brought back to life to keep serving the Lord. And it just goes to the show that there's no small gift. And there's no small gifting. So whatever you have, use it. Practice on me if you want. But use your gifts. Why? Because it's a joy. It's a real blessing to be able to give and not to receive. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1.